Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel, as we are every Thursday at Kitchen Notes. Appreciate them for having us, and our show is presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. So I have this question for you, and our good friend Rick Merritt presented it to me last night, and I said, this is a really good question. I'm going to bring this up on the show. And so you can be a fan of one of these two teams for the next 5 years, but only these two teams.
Okay.
You got to pick one of these. The New York Giants or the Tennessee Titans. You think about where both franchises are right now. Which one would you pick? And feel free to weigh in, 615-737-1025.
So without a dog in the hunt here.
But you got to pick between those two teams. Because question mark at quarterback, even though the difference is they've paid theirs because they had to. You haven't. You still got him on a rookie deal.
I'm going to go Titans. The Giants have been a disaster since Eli left, and they were a disaster after they won the Super Bowl in 11.
Yeah.
They weren't very good. They haven't been very good for a long time.
So I said the Titans.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
For the same reason, because I think you know what Daniel Jones is.
Why the Giants?
Because they just kind of fit the
similar,
kind of similar position of, in some ways a rudderless ship, just kind of going around and, But I feel like there is more of a direction in theory with the Titans. And while there is a question mark with Will Levis, he's hadn't even played a full season. You know what Daniel Jones is. Daniel Jones isn't very good.
Sure. I mean, he got him to the play. They won a playoff game in 22.
Yeah, they did, and then they had to pay him. But, like, I kind of think that was fool's gold. I mean, I could be wrong. But
build people around you. I mean, that.
Sure.
Look at if Joe Montana comes and plays pro football and gets drafted by the Seahawks, then there's that talent's not around. It's not Joe Montana's fault.
Yeah.
So you got to surround your quarterback with great talent. You just it's been the thing.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine Mahomes without Kelce. I mean, I know he hadn't had, a star with Tyreek Hill when he started out.
Right, but if he didn't have Kelce, they don't have three Super Bowls.
No, they don't. Yeah, so I think if you
and guess what else they've had? Offensive line.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I'd look at this also, to me, close home, I'd go the people that drafted this year. Like, the Falcons behind it. Closer to home, who do you have more faith in, the Falcons or the Titans in the next 5 years? The Giants are a great comparison. The Falcons drafted right behind the Titans last a week ago. Who you have more faith in? I think the Titans. I have a lot more faith in the Titans than I do the Falcons and a lot of teams that drafted around them.
I do. I think so.
I think they got a great coach. I think they got an even better defensive coordinator who wants to attack. And I love that instead of sitting back and reacting. I love that. I love what this team is building. And if you can get Sweat to come in and play his tail off and get him motivated and Latham can be good over there. I mean, I think you've got some good building blocks in this football team.
Raymond and Franklin on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. He's a Steelers fan, so he says, I cannot root for the AFC team. Sorry.
That's
okay,
fine.
But in the spirit of the question, so you're going Giants. Okay.
Yeah.
Chip and Mount Juliet, Titans. I think the Titans are on the upswing. New excitement here. If Vrabel was still there, not so much.
Exactly. Yep.
Austin says the Titans because I think right now that roster is so much better. The QB is up in the air, though, because I need to see a full season of Levis before I can compare the two. That's the other thing. Like, you have a guy that you've seen for 4 or 5 years in Jones. And you're right. He had that one good year. But then Levis, we don't know. You know, there are people that think they know.
Right.
But we truly don't know what he is.
Here's a comparison. You're going to hate me for this. That I have with Levis, another quarterback that was outstanding. You know, when Brett Favre took over the Packers in 92, when Don Majkowski got injured, he came in and he led them to a win over Cincinnati. They asked Favre after the game, were you nervous? What was going on? He's like, man, I just wanted to play football and throw the ball deep. And you see that confidence in him with Favre in 92. You kind of see the confidence in Levis, I want to throw the football deep. I want to win football games. I want to charge first. I like it, and I think they've got a guy who can go forward. And the team was going to rally around this quarterback. I think there's more positives for the Tennessee Titans than their own negatives. Far more positives than negatives. I know you'd be like, oh, he's no – I know. But you know Brett Favre in 1992, you had no idea what he was going to do going forward. It also helped that he had Sterling Sharp as a receiver as well. Now, Levis has Ridley, and he's got Hopkins, and who knows what could happen.
Yeah, you know, they may sign Tyler Boyd. That's, you know.
Is he in town?
I heard that.
I heard he was in town. Yeah, a very good source told me
I heard that.
He was in town.
I'll confirm it for you. He put it on his social media. He was in downtown Nashville.
So he is here.
I can tell you what hotel it was, too, because I know the floor.
I've
heard the hotel too.
Was it a hotel downtown, Dr. Crane?
Right over there.
May I say the hotel name?
You can say whatever you want.
It's out there, sure.
Sure. I mean, it's easy to know. It's the Joseph Hotel. That's exactly where it is. If you know the floor,
right across the street from where we are.
I know the tile. It's white with the black.
Are you stalking him?
No, I just know the tile. My dad works in that type of industry, so I understand what tile structure it is.
Okay.
What?
All right.
You're the best, man.
He knows tile. That's a new promo. Dr. Crane, he knows tile.
I see you doing a 30-minute infomercial, some kind of like Swifty wipe or something. Like, use this like the guy that does it already now. I think he passed away, but you can take his job, Dr. Crane. Phil Swift.
Yeah. You could do that glue or whatever you put on your gutters, whatever you call it, so it doesn't leak. I forget what it, not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like the mighty glue or whatever that is.
I could totally see Dr. Crane being like a TV pitch man.
Yeah, like QVC.
I could totally see it.
Like, what is you clean the glass on the oven, right? You do that?
Yeah, if you don't see the back window, then you know you got a problem.
What, a back window in the oven?
The back fan, excuse me. Back window.
The back fan, okay.
The back fan,
right.
You got a problem.
All right, you're the best. If I win Powerball, I'm going to invest in you and your own little infomercial show.
There you go. Those public channels, like 1 through 6 or whatever, I'm all about it.
You'll be like Dave Ramsey of DIY, do it yourself.
I'm in the process of possibly making a table, too. I was telling Chase about this the other day.
He is. No, he's. We talked about this.
Look, it's great, man.
When you listen to this show, you never know what you're going to get. Yeah. And Dr. Crane continues to just amaze us.
He's the best.
He is. That's why we love working with him. Austin, let's see. Josh in Lebanon said, Titans, as a Cowboys fan, I do not cheer for anybody in the NFC East. Wish they would lose every game. Get with the spirit of the question, though. Like,
but you can
Titans
compare
or Giants.
To another team. I mean, you can compare to a team that's around that neighborhood with them. Like, do the draft. The Falcons, Tampa Bay, Chargers. I mean, guys within two of the Titans like that. Like, I mean, Herbert, what does Chargers have? They got Herbert. That's it, right? They got a psycho coach in Harbaugh. The Giants, I think the Titans over the Giants. I think the Titans over the Falcons. I think, who picked ninth? You go the Jets or the Bucks?
Yeah.
I take the Titans over all those teams.
Let's see. Dylan says, it feels so good to finally have a cocky quarterback. You need a quarterback that has some damn swag to him. Tannehill and Mariota did not have that.
Tannehill a little bit.
Tannehill
Mariota,
a little bit.
Mariota, zero.
I'm going to say something about this. Look, you had to find the quarterback of the future. I hope Will Levis is it. I like Will Levis. I've seen some good things out of him. But I'm also not going to tolerate this Tannehill slander that has all of a sudden started. Like, and this is a typical fan, you know, just on to the next flavor of the week, you know, next thing. Tannehill did a lot of stuff for your football team that Mariota was never going to do. And just putting it bluntly, like, it's time people accept that. Tannehill was a damn good quarterback for this team. Now, he was a stopgap.
Right.
You knew it was going to be a short tenure, but you're not in the AFC Championship game without Ryan Tannehill.
That's right.
You're not winning all those divisions without Ryan Tannehill. And so I'm not picking on Dylan necessarily, but I feel like I hear that all the time of, no, glad Tannehill's gone. Good riddance. It's like, you had some pretty good years with Ryan Tannehill.
You did. I mean, you did. I mean, come on. We've talked about this before. That Denver game in 2019, Mariota had the worst performance of a quarterback I'd ever seen. He was awful. He was not getting any better. Tannehill came in and rallied his team, made the AFC Championship, and was fantastic like that. So I totally agree. Whatever team gets Tannehill as a backup starter, they're getting a capable backup starter who could come in and do get the job done as far as you need to. I mean, look, yeah, the Bengals game, the playoff was awful. I mean, they had a great chance to go to the Super Bowl. Just didn't get it done. A lot of teams don't get it done every year like that. But I'm with you, man, on that because he came in at a critical time and put that franchise up to another level, and the window closed. Now they got to open another window.
I hit a nerve with people on that, so I appreciate you listening to my rant on that. But I just think
what
Tannehill
nerve?
Should.
All about Tannehill?
Yeah, I just think he should be more appreciated than he is. You know, is he? Because I mean, statistically speaking, and result speaking, as the Tennessee Titans, he's the second best quarterback they've ever had.
Yeah.
Like, it's McNair and then it's Tannehill. If you're doing the All-Titans team.
Who else would be on there? Locker, Mettenberger?
Vince for just.
No.
I mean, by default?
No. Vince had flashes.
Like we did the. And Kerry Collins, I think they're going to release it this summer or something. But, you know, people voted on the All-Titans, all-time Titans team. Yeah. They had to be Titans. I mean, for quarterback, I went McNair, Tannehill, and I think you had to pick three. I think I put Vince.
Okay.
Just by default. But I mean,
no Kerry Collins level now.
I mean, it was tempting. You know, I think that's probably the debate. I mean, Vince had a couple of years that were pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, if he had stayed out of his own way, he would have been even better. But
that's the greatest what if of this franchise.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Had he stayed and become an amazing
well, and I think the other part of that is, and I'm gonna one day when Fisher's on, we're gonna ask him this. If he had been able to mentor under Mac, I think that would have made a world of difference.
Who knows? Yeah. I mean, that's a great question to
ask. I think Bud Adams wanted Vince Young. Bud Adams screwed up Vince Young by that whole deal.
He was coddled. I mean, I was over there for all that stuff that went on.
Right. But, I mean, if he had had 1 year behind McNair, 1 year in the organization with McNair, I think that would have made a world of difference for
him. I mean, Vince comes in, and then he's riding high from Texas. The work ethic wasn't there.
EY is my guy.
And I remember they're like, hey, if you draft Vince Young, you better draft Mac Brown too. We're like, ha-ha, whatever. And it became that way. I mean, and the word got out that Vince called Mac, and that's fine. He's your college coach, and you should have a relationship with him, and that's great. But at some point, you got to be a man.
Yeah,
you got to say, look, I screwed up. I'm not doing this right. But I'll tell you, Chase, when Vince Young ran that overtime touchdown back against the Texans in 2006, I mean, that level on the bus where I was at the game, riding back with the team, I mean, it was another level.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you sustain this? Can you keep this going up like this? Because nobody had an answer for Vince Young. Nobody in the NFL in 2006 had an answer for Vince Young because the best running quarterback since then was Steve Young in the 90s. Yeah. Nobody had an answer for Vince Young. But he didn't work hard enough. He didn't want to get better. Did not get better. And then Fisher saw that. They saw that every single day. Norm Chow wasn't great for him. And then Heimerdinger came in and was like, you got to work. Because Heimerdinger's comparison was who? McNair.
Right. And Heimerdinger's not going to put up with BS.
Exactly.
And that's what he needed. 615-737-1025. You have to pick Titans or Giants to be a fan of the next 5 years. Those two teams. Which team are you picking? We'll talk more about that coming up next. Eli Gold at the bottom of the hour. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes as we are every Thursday. Hey, tune in tonight to 94.9 The Fan as the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides at First Horizon Park. I stopped in, saw our buddy Jeff Hem last night.
Did you?
Took in a little bit of the game. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball on The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Yeah, it was a beautiful night for baseball. So
love it over there.
First time being there this year. Always love going to First Horizon Park and hanging out and watching some baseball. But we're asking you this question right now. And I asked this to Joe. You can be a fan of one of these two teams for the next 5 years, the Titans or the Giants. Which one are you picking? You and I both say the Titans.
Yeah, I'm waiting. You add something.
No, I was never.
No, no, you're right.
But what's funny is this discussion kind of, and Dylan, I was definitely not picking on you. I know you're a Tannehill supporter, but it did kind of trigger this thought of there are so many people that kind of turn their back on Tannehill. And like Austin said, you're right, I love Tannehill. I don't understand the hate all of a sudden. I mean, that's the quick memory of a fan that, you know, and look, Vrabel said it. You did have to be great around him. He needed the right supporting cast. That goes back to Miami. But I look at that season, if they don't make that move from Mariota to Tannehill, that season's lost.
It's gone.
They don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, and stop the Mariota. He's a nice guy. Terrible quarterback. Let's stop this. With the talk, he had a few moments. Yeah, every quarterback has a few moments where like, hey, that's not bad. But the bad outweighed the good. I still go back. I still want to know one day why he didn't play in that game against the Colts in 2018.
When
Gabbert played?
Yeah.
Because, look, we were in that locker room and we talked. There were guys like, yeah, I don't know. And the way they phrased it, kind of like, yeah, they should have been out there. Because it was never definitive what exactly. Was it like a neck or something?
He had had an injury. I mean, he had missed some time the week, I think. Yeah. And so it was a game time decision.
But I think it was more of like he should have done everything he could
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
What we know about Mariota now. And again, nice guy. Even if he had played, would you have trusted him under that kind of pressure?
With Gabbert, I would have taken Mariota.
Sure. Sure. But would the result have changed? Is what I'm saying. I wouldn't have trusted him under that pressure.
I mean, Andrew Luck smoked the Titans every time he played them. Right. I don't know, but the fact that
it was rainy, it was cold, it was
right.
It's a Sunday night.
Where is he at? Washington, Mariota? Is it the Commanders signed him?
Yeah, I think so.
Like that. So I mean, yeah. You know, and you get the occasional, he's made money. Well, that's great. The goal
he
is
stayed,
to make
he
money.
He stayed in the league. Good for him.
Just not a good quarterback. It shows you how valuable a good quarterback is because there's a lot of very average quarterbacks in the National Football League, and Marcus Mariota is an average quarterback.
Sure. And I would say, in the grand scheme of things, Tannehill was a good quarterback. Not great.
Right.
He was good.
Real quick, I'll go back to Wisenhunt. When they drafted, I remember talking to Wisenhunt, and the question was, at Oregon, Mariota never went under center. And said, what are you going to do? Yep. He's got to go under center here in the NFL. And Wisenhunt said, he'll be fine. We'll teach him and all that. Now, I'm not saying that stymied his growth or anything, but it's just a different dynamic now of the National Football League and players. Like, a lot of these guys aren't under center anymore, and that was the kind of thing that he had. Because Mario was like, yeah, I'm going to be odd. I'm going to have to go under center and see what's going on and kind of figure things out. And he did all that. But Tannehill came in at the right time in 2000, and they knew. They knew they needed a Tannehill when they traded for him to bring him in here, and he got the job
done. It was
done.
One of the best moves John Robinson ever made.
Oh, yeah.
Because
absolutely.
You had Miami basically paying for him. You had to pay him nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an insurance policy, and you had to cash that policy. And it paid off for you.
Can we run down quarterbacks that have been through here, I mean, off the top of your head? You go seasons-wise, like, you know, with Volek, and then Vince Young, and then Kerry, then Matt Mock, and then Rusty Smith, and then Locker, Hasselbeck.
Clipboard Jesus.
Mettenberger, Charlie Whitehurst.
Fitzmagic. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan, the one year he was here, yeah.
Yeah.
God, I forgot about him. Was that 12 he was here or 13?
Something like that, yeah.
One of those years, yeah. And then 16, then you get Mariota. Matt Castle.
Castle backed up for a year.
Gabbert.
Hasselbeck.
Who? Matt Barkley. Yeah, we said Hasselbeck. Matt Barkley was on the practice squad. I don't think he ever made the roster.
Right.
That COVID stuff where you could have the third quarterback that didn't count. Was here.
Who backed up Tannehill once Mariota left in 20? Why am I blanking on this? Somebody right there in their car is screaming at us right now.
Logan Woodside?
Who was I don't remember it was in 20.
Who?
Logan Woodside?
Yeah, it was Woodside.
Wow. That's why I didn't remember it.
Yeah. Yeah, he backed up in 20 and 21, I think.
And then Malik Willis.
And then Willis. I feel like we're forgetting one.
We're totally forgetting one that came along the pipe through there.
Sims. Sims was.
Chris Sims was 08.
Yeah.
He came in.
He was Dan Pastorini.
It was a hell of a quarterback. Number one pick by the Oilers in 70 or 71.
Yeah, we said Clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst.
Neil O'Donnell?
He was early on. Yep. We said him. I'm thinking I feel like we're missing one that backed up Tannehill.
Yes. Well, yeah, Woodside was there, but was there somebody else?
Oh,
why is it escaping? I was out there every single
name?
Day.
What's his name? Oh,
Joshua Dobbs?
Well, no. Dobbs was here. But no. There was a – and I can't remember if he ever
how
was
many
on
words?
The active.
How many words? Two words? Sounds like what? Come on. You got this, Chaser.
I think he played for the Jets. He's been everywhere. He's a career backup.
Come on.
Alex Tanney, there was one.
Alex Tanney, that's right.
Kerry Collins.
Alex Tanney did the YouTube videos, didn't he?
Yeah, and now he's – didn't he like a OC?
There's one that we are totally leaving out.
I know, and it's driving me crazy. And it's on the tip of my tongue. I want to say it was 21, maybe. He was Kevin Hogan. I forgot about him. No, that's
good
not who
Lord,
it is.
Kevin Hogan. These are some go back with some of these quarterbacks.
It's around COVID.
Well, just shows you how important the quarterback is to a football team. I mean, it truly shows you how invaluable. And we talk about this with Vrabel when he's talking about quarterbacks. Vrabel's standard of excellence for a quarterback was Tom Brady.
Sure.
And it wasn't Vrabel's fault that he played with Tom Brady for 8 seasons in New England. That was his standard for a quarterback. And anybody that did not come to that level, he just wasn't good. And Mariota didn't come to that level.
We said Fitzpatrick.
Yep. It's either 20 or 21 to backed up Tannehill.
Yeah.
I don't remember now with all that.
Yeah, I mean, in 22, it was Willis, Tannehill, Dobbs. There was one that was on the practice squad that I am just blanking.
That's all right. Man, you got it, man. Alabama football.
20 was Woodside. 19
was Mariota and
Tannehill. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know.
Again, it proves the point of a lot of people about quarterbacks and what they mean to a football team. That's why with Will Levis, ride him.
Yep.
Ride Will Levis. He's your guy. He's cocky. He's got bravado. He loves his team. He's tough. Let Will Levis go with him and don't bring somebody. That's why the whole Drake May thing. Well, if you brought Drake May in, you got to battle quarterbacks in camp. It was ridiculous.
We will talk to the voice of the Nashville Cats, Eli Gold. They have their second game coming up tonight. We'll talk to him coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here at the Omni Nashville Hotel on this Thursday at Kitchen Notes. The Nashville Cats return tonight, their second game of the season. They are at Albany. We'll have pregame coverage for you at 6:30 and the kickoff at 7 o'clock. And we say hello now to the voice of the Nashville Cats, the legendary Eli Gold, who is on the line with us. Eli, good morning. How are you?
I am well. Excuse me. Good morning to you guys.
How is beautiful Albany on this Thursday?
It ought to be the capital of New York or something. It's very nice. It's actually a very sunshiny day, very comfortable. Temperatures are in the high 60s, so a nice morning here in the Empire State.
I got to say, having worked with Pete Weber for as long as I have and how awesome he is, to turn on my radio and turn on the app and hear you and Pete together, which I believe is the first time that you guys have ever done anything like that in your careers, that was pretty darn cool to listen to the other night.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun. And you're right, Pete and I have been friends for years, going back, for decades. And we have known each other. We have done the same event at different times, the same event on different mediums at the same time, but we had never worked together. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, we just kind of took it easy. And just, you know, he was coming off that disappointing playoff loss the night before. And so we just kind of had a good time. And it was wonderful. And I'm hopeful that I will be able to convince Pete to do some other games before the season is done. It was a lot of fun. It really was.
Well, was he a part of the reason of why you ended up coming here and doing that year with the Predators?
Well, he was a good friend, and I certainly leaned on him. I knew a lot of people at that point, though. The biggest name in my corner at that point was David Poile. I had known David, who, of course, was the GM of the Preds at the time. And I had known David when I was doing the St. Louis Blues and other NHL stops. And it was a situation where, you know, he talked to me originally at a Vanderbilt football game. And there was a question about breaking up the simulcast and what have you. And David came up to me one day at the and of all places on the buffet line, go figure. And and he said, "Hey, you ever give any thought to coming back to the NHL?" I knew him when he worked for with Cliff Fletcher as the management team for the Atlanta Flames back in the day. And he came up to me, said, "Ever give any thought to coming back to the NHL?" And I said, "I think about it daily, but there's just been no opportunity." And he offered me the position, and it was great fun. I mean, I've known Crispy, of course, for years, and Pete, and we had a wonderful time together. We really did.
Talking to the great Eli Gold this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Eli, I got to tell you, Saturday night, of course, listening to you and Pete was fantastic, but what a fun environment that was Saturday night. Of course, it helps that the Cats destroyed Minnesota, Eli, but your takeaway from opening night, but I got to tell you, I walked that entire arena everywhere around there. People are having the greatest time, and that's what it's all about.
It is. That's what it's all about. It started, you know, outside with that party on the plaza. You walk out there, and it was packed. People were having a wonderful time. They were eating good food. They were playing games. They were having a good time. And then inside, it was beautiful. You know, Chuck did a great job in getting that building cleaned up, as I'm sure you well know by now. He stroked a check himself, not through the corporation. He stroked a personal check to get that building steam cleaned and made even more presentable than it was. And it looked great. The atmosphere was superb. And, you know, it was just big enough. Yeah, you could have played it at Bridgestone, but there was no need for it at that point. The crowds aren't to that point quite yet. So you play at Municipal, and it was a wonderfully cozy setting. And you're right, the Cats played so very well, taking care of the Minnesota Myth. So, yeah, everything went well, but, you know, it's an enjoyable product. It's fun,
yes.
And it's an intimate setting, if you can use that word for football. It was an intimate setting, and the folks had a great time. And, you know, they led the league in attendance. I don't know if you saw that of all the games.
I did not.
Yes, the Cats were number one in attendance. There were a few games with 4,000 and change. But, the Cats number one in attendance in week one.
Hey, also, Eli, shout out to your spotter, because I got to tell you, I was down on the first row, and I couldn't tell the numbers. So the fact that you got the numbers correct and you're a great spotter – well done. So give him a shout-out, please.
I'll do that. We were talking about that last night. It was the numbers were very, very difficult to read for the Cats. The home team, the visitors, had no trouble. But those whatever, I don't know what you call them. It was like an outline on a dark jersey. It was impossible to see. And, yeah, Butch, my spotter, he's been by my side, Butch Owens. He's been by my side for 36 years now. Everything I've done, from college games to the NFL to the old incarnation of the AFL, But that was a very, very challenging. And I mentioned it to the owners for, in the for what it's worth department. I said, you've got other things, I'm sure, to worry about. But a solid, bright gold number would have been a far better thing because, you know, let's face it, it's a new product. You're trying to build stars. You're trying to build heroes. And it's very difficult to do that when the fans can't pick out who's who when the numbers are so difficult to read. They, you know, oftentimes they're designed, these uniforms are designed to look good up close. But from a distance, they don't think about that. People don't sit
right
up close. And, you know, when I first noticed that was in NASCAR. If you remember, the Country yes. Time Lemonade people used to sponsor a car. And I'm serious now, and they rented Daytona International Speedway and brought in three or four cars and had them painted differently, although with that Country Time Lemonade sponsorship. One car was yellow, one car was pink. They had all of this stuff, and they set up TV cameras, and they had people sitting around the speedway, you know, a handful of people that they employed, and to see which car showed up best on the screen and showed up best from the distance
wow.
of the grandstands. And that's how they selected the yellow with the green to go with and so on. But it was difficult to see those numbers. It sure was.
You bring up that car, and I immediately thought of the late great Neil Bonnet in that
exactly.
that 51. But
yeah,
yeah,
exactly. He and Bobby Eli, Hamilton now, drove that.
That's right. Bobby Hamilton yep. did the late great Bobby Hamilton did drive that car too. So, with this game now, the first game's under the books, and everybody's got the butterflies out, and your team sits at 1-0. What's kind of been the vibe being around going into game number two on a short week, albeit, in playing tonight yeah. against Albany?
Well, I saw the guys this morning at breakfast, and they are ready. They are excited to get going. Of course, one of the other teams that played very well were the Albany Firebirds, who the Cats are playing here this evening. They were down big early and then came back to win in overtime. So two teams that played very, very well last week are facing each other here tonight. But there seems to be a good confidence riding the elevator last night. We were talking, and somebody said, yeah, I said, congrats on the win last week. I didn't see him after the game. And he said, yeah, we played pretty well. He goes, we're a pretty good team, you know. And that was just an offhand comment. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, you know, a tough atmosphere. This building is not a huge building, but they cut it in half. They hang a curtain, so all the seats are not going to be available. So they sell half, and they have a good crowd. So it'll be a challenging game tonight. But from what I saw last week, I love the. I love the way they played. I love the running game. They don't, you don't run much in the Arena League, but they brought in one of the offensive linemen and used him as a fullback, and in that kind of setting, and rammed the ball in. So I was pretty pleased with what I saw. I really was.
It's going to be fun for sure. I do have to ask you about a young man that I know you covered and called his games for the last few years, J.C. Latham coming to the Titans. He's a large young man for sure, but excited to have him. What can you tell us about this young man and what he's going to bring to the Titans?
Well, he's going to bring a great personality, number one. Fans are going to love him. Here's a guy who makes his living in the trenches, but he is just as nice of a human being as you're going to encounter. And that's always important when you're trying to sell a product. Not that the Titans need selling, if you know what I mean, to the public, but he's a nice, nice guy, but he's talented. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how he plays on, different side of the ball and so on. But I think you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I lost you there a second. It's going to be interesting to see how he plays, but he's talented. You know, he's got speed. He's got size. He's got mobility. You know, he's got everything you need. He really does. I think the Titans fans are going to love him. They really do. But he is a nice, nice young man, and that's going to be a lot of fun when he makes public appearances and so on.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Eli, we appreciate the time this morning. Have fun in Albany. Watch after Greg Pogue for us, and we'll talk
impossible,
to you soon.
Impossible to watch after we'll do the best we can. You guys have a great show. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Eli Gold joining us, voice
Eli
of the Cats. The greatest, one of the greatest of all time,
is he
for
not?
Sure. Yeah, oh, and I mean, he's done everything. NASCAR, hockey, football.
I mean, the football is great, but when I hear him, something about NASCAR just really gets you fired up, man.
Yeah, I love it for sure. We'll come back, tell you what day it is, and also celebrity birthdays. It's Chasing Big Joe, 125-106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 125-106.3 The Game. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, as we always do at this time. Now let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All righty, gentlemen, here for celebrity birthdays and what day is it. We have Baby Day first on the docket. Brothers and Sisters Day.
Baby Day.
Yeah, Baby Day. Nice. International, let's see, Day of Prayer. We also have National Player Ukulele Day. Love that. National Fire Day.
Joe, you
Day.
Play the ukulele.
I do.
Really, do you, Joe?
Oh, Dr. Crane, calm down. You're like flying through these. All right, ukulele.
I think he's nervous.
You say today's National Baby Day?
Yes.
That's every day from 2 to 6.
Oh, I thought you were going
all right, what else?
But okay. National Life Insurance Day.
Oh, got to get that.
Yep.
Yep. Let's see. National Day of Reason. What else we got here? Take a baby to lunch day. Got to take a baby to lunch day.
We're doing that right now.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
The last two we have here are World Tuna Day and National Truffle Day.
Ooh.
Love a good truffle.
Love a good tuna.
The truffle shuffle.
What about Big Tuna?
Big Tuna.
Yeah. Jim Halpert.
Yep.
That's your big tuna.
I thought that was one Parcells called the tuna.
He was, yeah. Nice. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. As you know, as always, get them within 2 years. Here we go, boys. First birthday is Christine Baranski. She's been on 1,000 things. She's an actress.
Yeah, I figured that. 51.
The Good Wife, I think she was on.
56.
72.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Chase, you got to get this one. Former McGavick High football player Dwayne The Rock Johnson. How old is The Rock today? He only went to McGavick for 6 weeks, but we claim him as alumni.
52.
55.
52 exactly. Chaser knows his heels.
I do.
It's funny looking at him with pictures when he had hair compared to now. All right, Dr. Crane, you got to get this one now. Soccer star David Beckham. How old is David Beckham?
48.
Oh, he can't be that old. 42.
49. Chaser's up 3-0. Ellie Kemper from The Office. She played the secretary that took over for Pam when Pam became a salesperson. Erin was her name on The
Aaron.
Office.
Yeah, 41.
39.
44. All right, let's roll with these. Singer Engelbert Humperdinck. You've heard of him?
No.
You haven't heard of After the Lovin'? Oh, it's one of the greatest songs ever. So I sing you to sleep after the lovin'. Or the song I just wrote. Have you never heard of that?
No.
All right. Engelbert Humperdinck.
I'm going to say 81.
77.
88. You get this one right, Chase. He lives in Brentwood. Larry Gatlin. Country singer Larry Gatlin. All the gold in cow.
82.
84.
76. Singer Lou Gramm of Foreigner, the best lead singer they ever had.
75.
79.
74. Chase was up 4 to them. Come on, Dr. Crane. Stay two. Country singer Ty Herndon.
62.
Oh, 44.
He is 62. Chase is up 6-0. TV commentator Mika Brzezinski. She's on Morning Joe. I think she's married to him.
Congratulations. I didn't know you got married.
Thank you.
52.
61.
57. Actress Jenna Van Oy. She was Blossom's best friend on the show.
48.
34.
47. Chase is winning 7-0. This is, and one more here. Princess Charlotte of Cambridge. I guess she's Prince William's daughter. How old is Princess Charlotte? Oh, that's a beautiful name. Princess Charlotte.
12.
9.
9 exactly.
Nice.
7-2. Well done, Dr. Crane. Get on the board there at the end.
That is going to do it for us. Former Predators defenseman Anthony Boteto will join us tomorrow at 10:30. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Anthony Boteto here. Forget about it. all right, as we leave the show, we do every day, guys. If you're out there, look, we tell you this every show at the end. If you're struggling, please reach out and talk to somebody. Call 988 on your cell phone. Reach out to us. We are always here for you. As we tell you every show, our world is a better place because you are here. And please know that you are tremendously loved. Please understand that. We love you.
No doubt about it. Peace, love, rock and roll. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.